Thank you, Jamal. That was awesome. It's always good to hear a majority Mennonite men singing in whatever tone they feel like is appropriate, and Jamal singing the correct way. Thank you, Jamal. Great job, men. No, thank you, John, for having me. Thank you guys for coming out. I know it's a different environment to come out to, but it's something that this place, Spruce Lake, has always had a special place in my heart. And it's had a special place in my heart because I gave my life over to the Lord when I was trying to think about it, probably 9, probably 10, probably 11 and 12 at Fireside. You know, they were like, have you guys sinned? You know, and you have your head bowed. And like, if you have and you want to give your life over to the Lord, nobody else is looking, right? Okay. So I probably did it all of those years, but this place is truly, it's a place we'd come in the summertime as kids. It's a place that we would come in the wintertime for work through church. And I remember when they built this. I remember when they built this building, and my dad and I were talking about it. It was supposed to be an ice hockey rink in here. Well, let's just keep it this way, okay? If it gets wet, I'm pretty sure, if we get some heated volleyball games in here, I'm sure it can be pretty slippery. But that's kind of what I want to talk about is when I gave my life over to the Lord, went back, I was baptized at my church, and I knelt down at the altar, and they poured water on my head. It was going through my glistening hair at the time. Now it would just kind of hit my head and just go whew, right off. But I remember that being like, wow, this is great. Another one of my buddies got baptized at the same time. And we might have gone to camp together. I'm not sure if we did or not. But we went back to school the next day. And he was exactly the same as he was before. And I was like, man, I thought we were supposed to change. And in my mind, when I think about my journey, John asked me to label or name my speech, so I named it The Journey. And you guys must have really wondering, like, how much did he of that cheesecake did he eat tonight? I'll get to it. It's part of the journey. So I want you guys to come along with me in my journey, but also step into your own journey and understand where each of you are in your walks with the Lord and where each of you are as men can be an influence to other men and other kids in their walk. Because when I'm baptized, now a lot of people get baptized, they go into the river, they go into the pool, and they come out what? Clean, new, wet. Yeah, everybody sees wet. You know, they say you died, your old body, your sin is gone, you're born new. Well, when you're born new truly in life, you come out and you're like, like, you know, your eyes are moving all around, somebody holds you all the time, you're an infant. Well, when I come up, when I see my son who I baptized, who I put in the pool in our front of our church, come out, he looks exactly the same. But he's an infant. He's an infant. So through all of this, a couple passages that come to my mind when I talk about infancy in Christ, Ephesians 4, 11 to 14. I know most of you probably didn't bring your Bibles, but most of you probably bought your phones, so that's fine. If you want to check your texts, while it's Ephesians 4, 11 to 14. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the pastors, the catchers, the pitchers, the evangelists, the prophets, the teachers, the butchers, the salesmen, the entrepreneurs, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants. Well, I was 12 and I was an infant. And through my journey, a lot of people know me because of baseball. Through my journey, there's a lot of people in this room that helped my journey. There's a lot of people that aren't in this room. My dad's here. My uncle's here. My chaplain from Scranton is here. Paul, can you raise your hand? Paul Golden. He's way in the back. I didn't put him down for player seating, so that's why he's sitting in the back. All people that have been a huge part of my journey, not just my baseball journey, but my life journey, my walk with the Lord, and it's looked completely different in so many different times of my life. To kind of catch you up to where I was before I was 12, I grew up in Telford, Pennsylvania. I went to Christopher Dock. It's been so long. I used to call it Christopher Dock, and now my kids go there. It's called Dock Mennonite Academy. Christopher Dock Mennonite School, Academy, High School, whatever it was called when I went there. That's where I went. And I went to Penn View, and I still can't call Dock not Penn View. But for anybody who doesn't know, you guys are the Yankees fans, what I'm talking about. So you Yankees fans, you hang on here, okay? We'll have a little bit of Yankees time too. And I grew up, ironically, about 21 years after I moved from Telford, I moved back. So now I live in Telford. If you see me around, I'm the bald guy that looks like Brett Gardner. That's for all the Yankees fans, okay? Brett Gardner's about this tall, but his wallet's about this big. So that's the difference between me and Brett. But anyway, in high school, I'm going to try to cut this to an hour. I could probably talk about every one of these. If you haven't figured it out, I have a ton of jerseys on and it's really getting hot. But I could talk about every one of my steps in my baseball career and how it molded who I am and the walk that I've been able to enjoy. I think this entire journey for me has been something that I never would have written it this way, but if it wasn't this way, I don't know how I would have made it. And so going back to high school, everybody wants to make their varsity team as a freshman, as a sophomore. You know, the only person that didn't make the varsity team as a sophomore, as a freshman, was Michael Jordan. So me and Michael Jordan have a lot in common, just like me and Jamal. I was singing back there. We sounded alike. So we have a lot in common. So you hear that story about Michael Jordan never making it to, you know, oh, he didn't make his varsity team. Okay, so I still got this. I can still make the big leagues. Well, my junior year came, and I still wasn't going to make the team. For everybody who misses any part of my stories, the book is coming out, okay? The publisher has bought the book, so it'll be coming out in 2023. So you guys relax. Just wait. You won't have to take notes. I was going out for my junior year of high school, and the third base was the position I played, and the third baseman was a senior. So obviously the senior is going to play over the junior who has never played on varsity and is probably not that good, according to the coach, which he's fine. I've talked to the coach. He's my neighbor now. But I had to switch positions. We didn't have a catcher. So I'm like, great, I'll play catcher. That's totally fine. Never really played that position. I played a little bit in the summer, but never really played. Let's see how it goes. In steps the senior shortstop and says, oh, well, I'll catch. And I was like, oh, well, I'll go bury myself in a hole. What do I care about? And we played two exhibition games. And before our first exhibition, before our first real game, that said senior got caught smoking. So yeah, take that. And so he got suspended for a day. I got to catch the first game. I hit a home run, and I've just been the best hitter ever since. No, that's not. That was another joke for the Yankees fans. Or Giants fans. If there are any Giants fans, they know I can't hit. Or Rays, or Astros. Anyway, I'll get to that. But so I got to play. I got to play every game through high school, except one I got kicked out of. We won't talk about that. We can talk about that later. My dad's not too pleased about it. Anyway, he's forgiven me. After school, I had a ton of offers. But I knew the Lord was calling me. I didn't have any offers. But I knew the Lord was calling me to go to EMU. I was actually going to go to a school called Montgomery County Community College. And the coach there told me there was a sophomore, because obviously it's just a two-year school, and the oldest kids on the team are sophomores. He told me I wouldn't play that much because the sophomore was really good. And he had a scholarship the next year to go to another school. So I was like, well, you know, it's close. There was a Pontiac Firebird that was on sale, and so I could buy a car and pay for it, the car and schooling all in one fell swoop. But I went to bed one Friday night, and I wish I remember when it was. I know it was late because I found out later on everyone else had already enrolled in all their classes. And when I got to EMU, I didn't even know which one of my classmates from high school were going to EMU. So I know it was late. I must have prayed at least more than this. But I woke up on a Saturday morning, and I told my mom, I said, I really feel like I should go to EMU. She's like, okay, you're paying for college anyway, so go for it. So, no red Firebird. I went down to EMU. At EMU, I got to play a little bit of baseball. I also met my wife. We're still married 20 years. Yes, 20 years. Yep. That's why she's not here. She's like, it's 20 years. Go. But we just celebrated it, so we had a long vacation, so she's like, yeah, you can go and speak. At EMU, that was a time in my life that you go to a Christian school and you think, I'm going to grow. My faith is going to grow. Whose fault is that? Mine. My faith did not grow while I was down there. But I did meet my wife, who was very instrumental in my faith growing and very instrumental in my entire journey of baseball. But it was a time that I look back on it, and I really wish I had more people in my immediate life living down there that would have helped me stay on the path and stay where the Lord had me. I'm not saying he didn't have me there. I'm not saying he didn't have his hand on me and it be part of my journey. But if you're going through a time where you're like, man, I'm not growing, look to other people for sure, but definitely look to yourself, because I have no one to blame but myself. And I did good baseball-wise. I brought my EMU jersey, and I was going to have that one on. It's going to be my first one. I couldn't get it on over top of these, so it was either going to be ripped open buttons, or I was going to be coming out like this with my arms up over my head. But so my goal was to play in the big leagues. Who, when they were 10 years old, wanted to play in the big leagues? Okay, keep your hands up. If you were 10 and you wanted to play in the big leagues, if you didn't, that's totally okay. You can still listen. Who, when they were 12, wanted to play in the big leagues? Okay, maybe a few less, maybe a couple more. Some people don't get the whole stick, keep your hands up thing. It's hard, okay? It's hard. You have a lot of shirts on. Ask a friend to prop it up. It's like Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron. There you go. Okay. 14, who still wanted to play in the big leagues? Less. Les, Paul didn't want to play in the big leagues at all, so that's fine, Paul. At that point, you can put it down now. That's fine. Thank you. Thank you for listening. When I went to EMU, I wanted to play in the big leagues. You know how many people at that point had played baseball at EMU and made it to the big leagues? They're going to say one, but he didn't play baseball. Okay, that's part of another trivia question. Who's the first EMU graduate to make the big leagues? No, he didn't graduate. So he also didn't play baseball. He played on the intramural softball team, but he holds all the basketball records. Again, if you are a Yankees fan, you have no idea where EMU is even. You just want to hear stories about Aroldis Chapman. So anyway, but I had that dream. I had the dream when I was at EMU that I'm going to make the big leagues. And a couple of my other teammates, we had the same dream. So what did we do? Same thing we did that I grew up watching my dad do. I grew up watching my family members do. We worked. We worked at it. We pushed it. We did everything we could to get better. And at EMU, I did get better. We had really, really good teams. I had a really good group of guys that were around me at EMU. Some played baseball. Some played other sports. Some played college. Some played Nintendo 64. I play Swartz. Yeah. Swartz, if you guys meet Ryan Swartzendruber, he is the most gentle, awesome basketball player that probably hasn't played basketball in a long time, But he is also the greatest Mario Kart player ever on N64. If you don't know what Mario Kart is, that's probably not just Yankee fans. That's a lot of fans in here, okay? I got drafted my senior year. I was 21. I was married. I got drafted and signed my contract. It was like I made it. Like, this was it. This was the apex of my, like, this is what I was going for. Obviously, I want to make the big leagues, but, dude, I got drafted. Like, I'm, like, really close to the big leagues. When you're drafted, you're super close. That's when the buzzer, like, to come get your kids during Sunday school goes, come get your kid. I was not close. I was really far. And to make sure baseball knew that I was really far, I actually had my Blue Jays jersey. Again, didn't fit over. But they sent me to, for my first professional contract, they sent me to Medicine Hat AL. Now, some of you are frequent on the punch card of hearing Eric Kratz speak, so I don't want you to answer. Does anybody know where Medicine Hat is? With a raise of hands, not a shout out, a raise of hands. Who knows where Medicine Hat is? Okay, but you, Mike, you've probably heard me speak. That's okay. I'm not sure. You don't have a mask on, so where's Medicine Hat? Oh, yeah. Okay. Alberta. Alberta, Canada. Raise of hands. Anybody know where Alberta is? Be honest. Yeah, not all of you raising hands. It's fine. Shoulder issues or something. No, I had no idea where Alberta is. I knew it was in, I thought it was in Alabama. It said Medicine Hat AL. It's a story I tell all the time, so if you hear me again, you're like, whatever. Alabama. My wife was like, wow, that is going to be a far way to drive. Whew, you have no idea, honey. No idea. I went to Florida for a three-day mini camp. So I went from Virginia to Florida for a three-day mini camp, and with a calling card, who remembers calling cards? Yeah, a lot of thin hairlines. You guys remember calling cards? I called my wife to tell her AL is Alberta. So my $1,000 signing bonus after taxes was $753, went to a round-trip ticket for my wife to fly to Medicine Hat AL by herself on three different flights when my host family, that's awesome, lived by yourself for 4 years, married for one, and then you live with a host family in a basement with two other kids and your two other guys on the team. Not awesome. But so it is. She flew there, landed in Calgary, or as they say up there, Calgary. Okay, it's one word, it's just Calgary. But she lands there, drives out, hugs, kisses, good to see you, 15-day road trip. All right, we'll see you. We go over all the country, you know. Because of the fact that these shirts are getting really sweaty, I'm going to speed the process up, okay? Plus, we only have an hour, and okay, I'm good, really fast. My time with the Jays was definitely an eye-opening experience for me, baseball-wise. I thought I was good enough to be in the big leagues. And so the one thing I wanted to do was listen to people who told me I was in the big leagues. And it didn't really work out well for me. But again, it was my fault. I listened to the wrong people. But during this time, in my walk with the Lord, it became strong. And some people will be like, well, it's going bad, so you're probably looking for... Yeah, you're right. I probably was. And that's where he met me. He met me in the form of a teammate named Christian Snavely. He was a seventh rounder out of Ohio State. Him and his fiance were in the season in 2003. In 2004, 5, and 6. 4, 5, 6, and 7, we lived together in spring training. Okay? So during my time in the minor leagues, to speed through it, because we're not even to the first jersey yet, okay? I maxed out my salary of $2,250 per month my last season. And people are like, oh, that's not so bad, times 12 months. No, we actually only got paid for 5 months, And they didn't find us apartments. We have to find our own apartments. So everything that you hear about the minor leagues, it's worse, okay? And it was something that it's fine. Like they kept the carrot just dangling in front of us. Here's the big leagues. Here it is. And a lot of guys just go, they just drive, they just go right by and they just grab the carrot and they just go. My carrot's just still singing. And I can't quite get it. But it kept me going. But the only thing that kept me going during those, I don't like to call them dark times, they were tough times, was my walk with the Lord. I started seeing my roommate, I started seeing Christian waking up before we went to the field in spring training. Like, we're at the field at 6:30 in the morning in spring training at the latest. And he's down there in the Word. And I'm like, what do you do? Like, wow, that's so awesome. That's so commendable. And he's like, just part of my life. Like, this is how I live. And to this day, the days that I don't wake up and get in the Word, it is unbelievable either how fast and how late I am for everything, or how short and how snippy I am with my wife, with the kids, whatever it is. I know there's power in the Word. And I know that without that, I wouldn't have had one of these jerseys. And I hope the little bit that you hear of my story through baseball, you can obviously gain encouragement, but also know that it is not me. It is not me at all. The times when I wasn't near him, that was me. But he had a plan for me, and this is an opportunity that I got to do this. And there's so many things in my journey that it's impossible to say this was me or I worked super hard or anything, because the chances of somebody coming out of EMU to get drafted are one in however many people I've ever played there. And the chances of somebody who's the 29th rounder for the Blue Jays making the big leagues is a little bit more than the one in however many people I've played there. But so many things were stacked up against me, and that's where the Lord works. He works in places where you're like, impossible. Impossible? Like, have you seen what he's done? Like, wait till the sun rises over the mountain over there. He did that. He did that. So if we're talking about sweaty jerseys, like, that's simple. Okay? So wherever you're at in your journey, I want you to come with me to when the Blue Jays said, beat it. We don't want you anymore. I became a free agent, and the Pirates called. Who's a Pirates fan? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to have... Okay, he's a Penguins fan. He didn't wear his Pirates jersey. Anyway, the Pirates called. And you know how I got the Pirates? My roommate in college, his brother, played volleyball. You're like, what are you talking about? He played volleyball, but he liked baseball. And he had a law degree. He became the player development coordinator for the Pirates. Another reason they probably haven't been that great, they were hiring volleyball players. But anyway, that's a completely other story. I'm very thankful for Kyle Stark calling me and saying these exact words. We would love to have you. We need a double-A backup. And I'm like, double-A backup? I'm 28 years old. I'm about to have my second kid. How much you paying? And I was going to get, well, they offered $6,500. My agent, greatest agent ever, negotiated $7,500. $7,500 a month going from $2,250. Ballin'. It was unbelievable. It was so great. We knew how we were going to pay rent the first month of the season before the checks came out. So it was like, this is great. Sign the contract. He calls me, he goes, hey, thanks for signing the contract. It's so great to have you in the organization. He goes, and before we release you halfway through the year, we're going to see if you can pitch. I'm like, I haven't even played a game for you guys yet, and you are going to talk about releasing me? That's like getting married and being like, before we get divorced, I am going to see. No, like, I'm sitting here like, I'm ready to play for you guys. My son is going to be born in 2 days. Like, this is the greatest, and you're just crushed. Long story short, I played in AAA. I got to go to the All-Star game. I got an opportunity to play. I did well. I was on ESPN, and I hit a home run. I walked, double, and a homer in my last at-bat. And the only thing I could say, after the first time I was ever on national television, I said, "Hi, Mom." Like, "Hi, Mom? That's it? Why did he say hi, Mom?" "Hi, Dad." See, my dad's here, so I can wave to him now. So it works. But now I made it. Perfect. Now I'm in the big time. Ended the season, all-star for the postseason, everything. In AAA. I forgot to say that. I don't really try to get into the whole like minor league stuff because people are like, "AAA, well, I know a guy, he played in A-ball, and that's like really close," but it's a whole bunch of different stuff. I was in AAA at this point. After with the Blue Jays, going up and down, up and down, up and down, AA, AAA, High A, Phantom DL, all that stuff. I won't explain it. Some of you are bored. Some of you are sleeping. The Yankees fans aren't sleeping. They're waiting for the end. I know it. I can tell. But I'm thinking, perfect. September, I'm going to get called up to the big leagues. MVP of the Indianapolis team. Also brought my Indianapolis jersey. Again, I already said it. Too many jerseys. I'm thinking I'm going to get called up in September. Player development guy calls me. He goes, "Hey, this is in August." He says, "Hey, congratulations. You're having an unbelievable year. You're our guy here going forward. You're going to keep playing." I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, I earned it, so yeah, I better keep playing. He's like, "And we'd like to offer you a contract for next year." I'm like, whoa, that's awesome. "And we're just going to max you out, $12,000 a month. Almost $5,000 more than what I made the time before, that season before." I'm like, whoa, that's awesome. And I was like, what about September? September 1st is when, for people who don't know baseball, that's when they call up the guys in AAA who had done really well, and it's like a, you know, you're going to be on the team next year, kind of like getting your feet wet, all that stuff. And all I'm thinking is, I get called up in September 1st. It's going to be the best. I'm going to make big league money. It's going to be awesome. This is going to be great. He's calling me to tell me, yeah, we're probably not going to call you up. Well, then I'm probably not going to sign your contract. And he was like, well, think about it. I was like, okay, I'll think about it. Two kids, great season, thinking about it. I loved it in Indy. I signed back. My wife and I prayed about it a lot. And I know that if we hadn't been able to pray about it, I would have made a lot more, not that I didn't make prideful decisions, but I would have made a lot more prideful decisions. And I know the Lord helped me swallow my pride. And I may still have been an infant in my journey, but I know that he was working through it the entire way. And I signed back. Didn't make the big leagues until the next year. And I'm going to say it was July 12th. Well, July 10th, I got called up on national television. And I told so many people, all throughout my career, they were like, "Yo, dude, call me when you get called up." I'm like, "Yeah, totally." Like, my dad, my uncle, my wife, mother-in-law, you know, a couple brother-in-laws, perfect. You'll be like 10th on the list. Well, when it takes you till you're 30 to get called up, that list just becomes like, we got this. All right. So it was perfect. I got called up on national television. Everybody knew I got called up, except for my dad, my wife, my sister. My sister was actually the first one that knew I got called up. I was at the Iron Pigs, and she was out playing with my kids on the playground because I got out of the game, and so I got called up to the big leagues. Now I made it. Now, like, I got it. Like, I'm on the Pirates. We're bad, so this is perfect. Like, they're going to keep me the whole 34 days that they kept me. I thought I was going to be there the whole year. I was thinking, like, you know, me, Roberto Clemente, Willie Stargell, like, so many. Like, it was just going to be me, Andrew McCutchen, Pedro Alvarez, like, all the guys. It was like I was their older brother. It was great. Well, They said, nah. They said, finally, I get to take one off. They said, no, we're going to send you down. And the greatest thing that they could have done, because the next September, that September came, the greatest thing that they could have done for my career, and I know the Lord had, I'll just throw him here. I know the Lord had his hand in this, because I should have gotten called up. I was the MVP again of the AAA team, and I had spent that 34 days in the big leagues, but I wasn't called up. I wasn't chosen. September 5th, September 4th, season ended. GM called me. Yeah, we're really sorry. We're not just going to take you off, but we're not just going to not call you up. We're going to, it was a tough decision, but we're going to take you off the roster. For anybody who doesn't know what that means, you get taken off the 40-man roster. You now become a free agent. Okay? And I'm like, what? Like, I was your best player in AAA the last 2 years, but I was too old. Okay? So, that offseason, I became a free agent. And you can see the team I signed with. Their two big signings that year were Cliff Lee and me. They were announced on the same day. Okay? Phillies fans. Yep. Both of us were incredibly good looking. His contract was guaranteed, and I was guaranteed that mine wasn't guaranteed. I went to AAA again with the Phillies, made another all-star team, and continued to grow in my faith. I met a man named Rich Sparling. He was the, if you've ever been involved with a soccer program called Torch, it was a big soccer fan that came down and was our chaplain. And his pouring into me through the Lord, the words that he spoke to us, not only on Sundays, but on our Tuesday Bible studies, really helped me make the transition into what I had wanted to be. My whole life, I thought was the thing I wanted to be was a big leaguer. Well, the Lord knew that if I had been a big leaguer when I was 26, when I was 27, I wasn't a bad guy. But I would have become a bad guy. The things in the big leagues would have made me a bad guy. And Rich was there in times that I had fame, I had fortune, I had, you know, kids pooping everywhere. Like, we had another kid, so it was like, we got a lot of kids. Three kids, that's enough. I heard somebody tell me when I had two kids, they said, what's it like having three kids? And he said, it's like you're drowning and they throw you another one. And like, there's a third kid. But I'm on the Phillies. Like, the team I grew up. I got called up the next day in 2011. The only day that I was dressed as a Philly, I'm in the bullpen, and we clinched our spot in the playoffs. So we're popping champagne, and I'm like, I just got here. You guys do this every single game? Like it was the greatest, like, those teams were unbelievable teams. I'm going to be part of this. I got kept on the 40-man in the offseason. I came out the next year. I had just an up-and-down role. I got called up, sent down, but it's okay. I'm in the big leagues. I'm out of the big leagues. It's fine. It's okay. I'm doing good, so who cares? I'm healthy. Then I had, you know, 9 home runs that season. 2013 comes. Boom, 9 home runs again. I'm the man. Like, this is it. I got this. We go to a conference every December, my wife and I, to a conference called PAO, Professional Athletes Outreach. This is the first time we ever went. David Platt, if you've ever heard him speak, just incredible speaker. Loves the Lord. I've gotten to know him through this conference. Either they really like him, or Francis Chan moved out of the country, so they stopped inviting Francis Chan, and they bring David Platt every time. He is awesome. He's talking about surrendering to God's path. And I'm sitting there, I'm just like, yeah, this is great. Like, listening, 20 points. He's on, like, point 18. My wife's over there scribbling down notes. And you can see in her notes to this day that it was at point 18 when my phone started ringing. Because she stopped taking notes and is like, that is so rude. Why is your phone ringing? Turn it off. It's not ringing. It's on vibrate, but it's like, pff, pff. And it's constantly. I got like 3 or 4 calls. two from my agent, two from Ruben Amaro. And I'm like, babe, Ruben Amaro's calling. Because normally Ruben would call if he was like, hey, you live in the area, you're close, you want to come and do an appearance, cool, that's great. And then he would say something about me not able to hit a slider. I'm like, thanks, Ruben, whatever. And so I'm like, I'm not answering, it's Ruben. And then my agent, Storm, called. Cool name, right? Storm, that's his real name. Anyway, Ruben calls again. I'm like, babe, it's Ruben, I got to answer it. So I go out. David Platt's still just like, and he's just, he breathed the Lord. If you ever want to hear what the Lord sounds like speaking, David Platt's got it. And he's like a CrossFit guy, so he's like kind of jacked, but he's little. But anyway, he loves the Lord. I go out, and Ruben's like, hey, Kratzy, he's like, how you doing? I'm like, good. I was like, you're calling me a lot. What's up? He goes, yeah, you know how we said, like, you know, it was your job as the backup catcher? I'm like, yeah, so? I forgot to say that. They told me. I was the backup catcher the next year. Carlos Ruiz and me. Chooch, one of my best friends in the game. He is someone that loves the Lord, is someone that loves everybody around him. This dude, if you like Carlos Ruiz, you don't even come close to knowing what kind of person he is, because it doesn't even, like, you can't even portray what kind of person he is. He's just one of the best ones that I ever came across in a game. And he's like, I know how you and Chooch were going to be the guys, but the Blue Jays called, and we traded for you. They called a couple days ago. They would really like to have you, so we traded for you. We got Brad Lincoln, I think. He's a reliever. I don't even think he made the team, if he did. But me and Brad Lincoln, we knew each other with the Pirates. So that's a small world of baseball. But I got traded to the Blue Jays, who just fired me like 2 years before. No, 5 years before, because I wasn't good enough. I don't know what happened between then and then. I had a scout from the Blue Jays ask me. He's like, what did you change? I was like, nothing. I was like, I never played when I was with the Blue Jays. I was like, unless you watched BP, you didn't know that I was actually a player. Like, oh, no, you didn't watch. Because I really did not change anything. I just got to play. So, got a Blue Jays jersey. Now, you got to remember, 1993, I was 13 years old. A 13-year-old boy has a lot of hate in his heart for no reason. I had a reason. Joe Carter, it wasn't even a good swing. Like, it's a short porch, like, and I gotta go, they got banners hanging up, they're like, Joe Carter, throw out the first pitch. Oh, I'm like, Joe Carter, beat it. Like, it's a slider, you probably swung over a lot of them. But, so I'm back with the Blue Jays. Another long story short, I come in to catch the knuckleball, okay? If you don't know what a knuckleball is, look it up, and then that's it. Don't try to catch one. Don't think, like, when they get the machine out, we're going to catch a knuckleball. It's just not going to happen, all right? You're going to catch a couple of them, and you're going to be like, this is great, teeth, you know? So I chased the knuckleball most of spring training, and I did okay. I picked it up every time it stopped rolling, and I hit really well. And the Blue Jays, they fired me. I like to say they fired me because they sent me down to AAA. Now, AAA in the Phillies is in Lehigh Valley. I can get in my car, drive to Lehigh Valley. Okay? Great place to play. AAA with the Blue Jays? Buffalo, New York. Okay? Besides Josh Allen, there is nothing in Buffalo. Okay? And Josh Allen wasn't there yet. He was probably like in elementary school. But it is cold up there, and I told the GM, I said, why did you trade for me? It was one of the first times in my career that I stood up for myself. I stood up for myself, and I felt awful after I did it, but it actually worked out because he remembered me saying these things that I said. I said, why did you trade for me? I said, I was completely fine in Philly. I said, I never once was told ever in my entire career that I was going to be in a place the next year. And they told me that. And you came and took me out of there. as my journey continued to go through baseball, I should apologize to Alex Anthopoulos because I know he didn't take me out of there. I know the Lord had me come to Toronto because there was no chapel leader in Toronto. There was no chapel rep in Toronto, and I got to be that. My wife started a Bible study in Toronto, not in Buffalo, although I did get sent up and down 5 times. That's not part of this story, but she started a Bible study that to this day still goes. 8 years later, through COVID, it's been difficult because you can't even go into your own bathroom in Canada through COVID, so I don't know what they're doing up there, but they're still working. The bowlers are, if you ever want to keep somebody in prayer, it's an area that really needs, baseball chapel is an area that, you don't even know anything about baseball chapel, pray for them. Pray for those people because Satan's trying to keep them out of the clubhouses, and I'm not saying COVID is that, but COVID's keeping them out, and it's giving reasons for outside people to not come in. And if there's anybody that needs to come back in, it's the chapel leaders. And so we're in Toronto. The bowlers poured into our life. We poured into their lives. It was something that was awesome. And I'm in Toronto, and it's kind of an up-and-down thing. We're in Canada, got loonies and toonies, like I get change, and it's like, who keeps change anymore, right? You know, and it's all change. They're just like, here, $60, change. Then you're like, I don't know what this is. Everything was just kind of a little off. We're 2 games out of the playoffs. 2 games out of the wild card. Toronto hasn't been to the playoffs since. Joe freaking Carter, stinking guy. I'm like, good, don't make the playoffs. Actually, I'm here, so let's make the playoffs. I'm in AAA. I got sent down one of the 5 times I got sent down. I'm in the hot tub, DHing that night. So I'm like, all right, this is good. Like, I'm a hitter. I'm the guy. Like, DH, I don't really have to do much. Manager comes in, you're down. You're not in the game. It was trade deadline, so I'm like, perfect. I'm going to get traded. No, I'm not getting traded. Who would want me? I'm in AAA. I was hitting like 205 in the big leagues. I was hitting okay in AAA, but nobody cares about that, clearly. And 15 minutes later, comes back in. He's like, yeah, you got traded. GM from the Royals is going to, I'm going to need some massage on my shoulder. GM from the Royals. Okay, good. I have the Royals jersey on. So, went back, packed up my place in Buffalo. Couldn't pack up my place in Toronto, not because of COVID, because I didn't want to cross the border and pack up all my stuff. So, and I still think there's a blue dress that my wife left in Toronto. So somebody, if you see somebody in Toronto with a blue dress, it was a nice dress. But someone else packed up our stuff in Toronto. I went to Kansas City. My wife went to Virginia. Wife and kids went to Virginia. Okay? We're also 2 games out of the playoffs in Kansas City. Okay? So now, let's see, I'm 34 years old. And who's been counting? How many teams have I been with? 3. Pirates, Phillies, Blue Jays, right? Super easy. Royals? That's no problem. We end up going to Game 7 of the World Series. We lose. The next year, it's with the team again. We didn't lose. That's my one prop. In communications class, they told us to bring props. I guess my jersey's a prop. Yeah, you're clapping. But you had to stop the clapping now. Because that's how many at-bats I had. I had 4 at-bats that year. Are we still clapping? 4 at-bats? I was there till June. How you get 4 at-bats for 3 months of a season, no idea. You got to try to do that. Like, that's, you got to be like, nah, I don't want to play. Like, you haven't played for 2 months. I'm good. Exhausted. I watched these guys play. And we were good. And we got in a bunch of fights. So it was like, I was running out in the field all the time. I was like, guys, give me a break. It's May. I played in spring training. I had a little tweak on my foot. I tore my plantar fasciitis. I say a tweak. In baseball, you can I'm slow and slower. Like, there's no, like, speed-wise, it doesn't really matter. So I need 2 days. Manager's like, okay, great. I get a lidocaine shot. I think it was lidocaine. It's one of the canes. Not Abel, but or Lorenzo. And they shoot it into my foot, and my foot's numb. Where I tore it, it's numb. So I do what I normally do, come out to the bench. Just come out there. I'm like, coach, I'm good if you need me. I play in the eighth or ninth inning, and I just sit there for the rest of the game. And I was completely fine. After the game, numbing kind of wore off, but I was getting better. Plantar fasciitis, 2 to 5 days. I mean, plantar fasciitis. Who's had plantar fasciitis? You guys, let's pray for those people, because if you ever get plantar fasciitis, you will think about just leaning off your bed and peeing in the morning instead of walking. If you haven't had it, you're the ones that aren't laughing right now, okay? I tore it. I tore mine. Gone. So it didn't hurt anymore. But I need a little bit of time. Got called in the next day after getting a lidocaine shot right into my foot. Called in the office. Manager said, we're going to go ahead and put you on the DL. I was like, well, I don't think that's a good idea. I'm totally fine. Little did I know, there was a catcher on another team that they were kind of eyeing, and he was probably the only catcher in all of baseball that I had like a batting average 30 points higher than. Everybody else, it was like my batting average, and I was looking up at everybody's. His, I was like, you're terrible. He became the catcher. He became the backup to Salvador Perez. So he got like 7 at-bats the rest of the season. So combined, Salvador Perez's backup catchers got 11 at-bats. I spent the next 1.5 months, essentially on the Phantom DL in the big leagues, rehabbing an injury that was healthy, and then they sent me to AAA to continue to rehab, and I stayed there for 20 days. This was an incredibly tough time, but every single day, I know I had hope. I had hope that I was going to make it to the big leagues, and I thought that was my goal. My goal as a 12-year-old, just like when we raised our hand, was to make the big leagues. I had been in the big leagues. Now my goal was to impact. That was the time in my life when I knew I had completely zero control under where I was, who I played for, and I'm only on the fourth team, okay? Who knows how many teams I played for, organizations? A lot, you're right. A lot. 14 different organizations. 9 big league teams. Technically 11 different big league teams, but I never played a game for all 11. Anyway, that started me on my journey that when my wife and I would pray, you open this door for us or you slam it shut. And there was times that it got slammed shut on us. And it was not, like, I was like, that's the one. That's not the one. We're going to go over here. We're not going to, like, Columbus, Ohio? Like, that's where we're going? Anyway, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. I get taken off the roster. Completely healthy. But according to all the other teams, I haven't played. So, Blake Swihart, nobody really knows who he is. He gets hurt for the Red Sox. And my illustrious career with the Red Sox starts. Okay? It's probably going to be wearing this jersey from the time I put it on till the time I take it off, longer than I actually did wear this jersey. I can't even get this one. Along the way, meeting so many people, I can truly honestly say I didn't meet anybody with the Red Sox. I walked in the locker room, and I looked across, and the bathroom was right there. Pablo Sandoval was right there. He was getting the barber. Was cutting his hair. He was done cutting his hair. He was shaving his back like it was a lawnmower. Like he was just going. I like making noises into the mic if you guys didn't understand that. So I'll take this off. So, Red Sox career. 2 days, over. See you later. Okay? I'd like to tell you how many times we had moved up until this point, because we're at 2015. I had to remind myself what team was next. It's a cheat sheet. Then I said, no, I'm not going to AAA with the Red Sox. I don't want to go to Pawtucket. Better than Pawtucket. It's a weird place. Don't want to go there. Signed with the Mariners. Mariners were like, we'll give you a 12-day contract, but I don't think you'll need it. Just want you to play a little bit in AAA, call you up to the big leagues. Guy in the big leagues was hitting like 110. So I'm like, got this. Boom, go out to Tacoma, Washington. If you ever want to fly to Tacoma, Washington, don't buy a last-minute ticket. Out of Atlanta, how I got to Atlanta, I have no idea, but Atlanta to Tacoma, Washington, whichever way you guys are looking, you will get the middle back seat with a child in front of you that's trying to push his seat back onto your lap. So from Atlanta to Tacoma, can't even say it, I flew out there, okay? You don't see a Mariners jersey because I ended my 10 days, and I flew home because they weren't going to call me up. So called the old trusty Phillies. They said, sure, come on. So I played for about a month, month and a half. Phillies in AAA, they called me up. It was an organization for Phillies fans out there. It was an organization that truly helped my family and truly like cared about my family. It's something that I am very grateful for because they, as an organization, really, really, really helped me. And Mr. Montgomery has now passed, but incredible person, and I hope the Phillies can get back to what they were. I don't know if they will. They got Gabe out of there, so yeah, I think they will. But that's personal. So now I have a Astros jersey on, okay? I go to spring training with the Padres. They were like, we want you to be the backup. And then it's fine. It was a piece of salad. It's nothing, okay? Nobody freak out. Nobody freak out. I'll back up. Always wanted to play the drums. I go to spring training with the Padres. But as with any up-and-coming young team that stinks, they're trying to look for young talent. We're in 2016. I am not young. I am very old. I am 35 going on 36. So I was going to be the backup, the sage veteran presence in the clubhouse. And they found somebody that was 23. So it's his job. But instead of getting rid of me, they said, we're going to keep you around till the end of spring training. So I had an out in my contract. Another thing that's completely irrelevant and really tough to explain. But I had an out in my contract. I said, I'm going to take my out. They said, well, you can't have it. I was like, well, then you have to put me in the big leagues. And they said, okay, well, we have 2 days to trade you or put you in the big leagues. So I'm not sure if I was technically a Padre. I also had that jersey, but it's a cooler story without ever seeing my jersey. I think I was number 11. But I never wore it in the big leagues, so I was kind of not a Padre because then they traded me to the Astros. Okay? Who doesn't like the Astros? Yeah, this is a Christian conference. We are supposed to love everybody. All right? And I usually tell people, this was the year, played for the Astros, the Pirates, and the Blue Jays, not in the big leagues. I hit 300 this year. I hit 100 for the Astros, 100 for the Pirates, and 100 for the Blue Jays. That's 300, okay? I go to the Astros, and this is 2016. They were in the playoffs in 15, 16. We're, you know, young team. Correa, Altuve, Bregman wasn't up yet, but he was in the exhibition games at the end of spring training. So I met Bregman. You know, all the guys that are there now or were there during their, you know, last few years, they were just young, and it was great. It was a great environment to be in. And I hit so bad there that people asked me, they're like, oh, you got an Astros jersey. Like, were you there during the trash can thing? I was like, yeah, but I have terrible hearing. I set up the trash can thing, but I couldn't hear anything, so I never got any hits. I didn't set up the trash can thing. The closest thing to a trash can thing was my helmet is about the size of a trash can. That's the only Astros trash can story that I have. I got fired from the Astros, okay? We're out in Houston. No, we were in Boston, and I was going home for the off day, and they were nice enough to fire me. So who did I go to next? Not the Pirates. I signed a AAA contract with the Angels. The Angels are in Salt Lake City. Who's been to Salt Lake City? Beautiful area, huh? Beautiful. Brutal traffic. Brutal travel on planes. Salt Lake City, I was there for 3 weeks. I got more frequent flyer miles than I had in my entire career. And I didn't play well. So I wasn't going to go to the big leagues. I was in Fresno State. I was in Fresno playing the Fresno Grizzlies, who ironically is the Astros AAA. Again, I was DHing. So the moral of the story is I need to be a DH because that's when I get traded. I was walking up to go on deck. We had 10 guys on the team. And the manager's like, he goes, go back. He's like, you got traded. Go into the clubhouse. They're going to call you. Who called? The Pirates. Yeah. Got it. I have to rewind a little bit. When we were in game 6 of the World Series in 2014, much to my family and my friends' consternation, they were mad. I didn't get an at-bat in a 10-0, 10-2 ball game. In the moment, I didn't care. I really still don't care. If that's what it took for us to win the game, I didn't really care. For us to win the next game, that's all. When you're in that environment, when you're in a World Series environment, there is not much you wouldn't do for your team to win. And that can be construed different ways. But my mindset was, if somebody needed my at-bat, I have no problem not taking that at-bat. There was no... To this day, it really doesn't bother me. One at-bat in the World Series... That night, I had a dream that I hit a home run off of Madison Bumgarner. Like, are you kidding me? Of course, who's going to pitch in that game? Obviously, everybody knows what happened. Madison Bumgarner beat us. So I say we didn't lose to the Giants. I say we lost to Madison Bumgarner. It makes it easier. But I still have a cool World Series second place ring. Fast forward to 2016. I start out. My time back with the Pirates, 0 for 15. Ugh, it's terrible. But it's 15 at-bats. Like, there's going to be guys that go 0 for 15. The difference is you just don't want to do it your first 15 at-bats when you come to a new team, okay? You know, Twitter, a lot of hate on Twitter. So I was like, whatever. You guys can't say anything worse than I can say to myself. I'm 0 for 15. That's what I always said about Phillies fans. Phillies fans, everyone's like, oh, Phillies fans are the worst. They're not the worst. No way has any Phillies fan ever seen me hit a home run as a Philly and been like, boo. No, when they booed me, they were either that or they were calling me Chooch. I'm not sure what was happening. But when they booed me, I was already booing myself. So these were times, like, so this is a time when I'm playing for the Pirates. I'm 0 for 15. Who are we facing? Madison Bumgarner. It's the first time I got to face him since I thought I was going to face him in 2014 in Game 7 of the World Series, but instead, I hit a jam job home run just down the line that Angel Pagan, an Angel Pagan, just think about that name, okay? Thank the Lord isn't working in mysterious ways. He jumped, caught the ball, hit the fence, and slammed it over, okay? Think about that. That was one of my 6 hits that I had with the Pirates, all right? So guess what? See ya. Got fired. Okay? Went to the Blue Jays. Now, the end of the season. I end the season in AAA with the Blue Jays. Okay? No, I'm not getting called up. Not good. For that year, I joked about it. I hit 100, 100, 100. It wasn't much higher. Okay? It was really looking like... I had to see who was next. It was really looking like I was not going to be playing anymore. 36 years old, probably combined to hit 160 with very little power. I'm like, I don't know what happened. I just changed teams 5 different times during the season. There was stress involved with that. Who knows? Two teams called that year. If anybody remembers who was in the 2016 World Series, nobody. Great. The Cubs and the Indians, the two teams that called me first day of free agency. Cubs, the Indians. I didn't want to go all the way out to Iowa to play AAA. So my wife and I said, cool, go to Columbus. Columbus was about a six-hour trip from Virginia. So I was like, okay, that's not that far. I have a gold card from the state police, so it's like a five-hour trip. I can make it home. I can make it there a little bit quicker going through West Virginia. And they, thank you, somebody got that gold card reference. Thank you for that. And I go to Columbus. I meet the chaplain in Columbus, and this man pours into my life, which enabled me to pour into my teammate's life. And I was in Columbus the entire time. I was playing for the Indians. I was, again, an all-star. I declined because that's really weird, a 37-year-old making any minor league all-star game. That's really, and I decided to go to Jersey Shore instead of out to Tacoma, Washington. Already been there, didn't want to go. And this chaplain poured into my life, and I was able to pour into my walk with the Lord. I had so many experiences that were really great for my journey. And a week ago, I got a call from one of my teammates on that team, and he said how much the relationship we had that year helped save so many things in his life, from substance abuse to his marriage to his relationship with his dad. And he's ultimately given his life over to the Lord. Again, he had done it before, but it was something that he wasn't living it. He was lying to himself that the Lord didn't have his life in control. And he was one of the people that I developed a relationship with in 2017, and I stayed in Columbus the entire year. The chances of two catchers on one big league team never getting hurt, the third catcher in AAA winning the MVP of that team and not getting called up, are pretty astronomical. Maybe not EMU astronomical, maybe not 29th round astronomical, but pretty crazy. So the day I got called into the office to say, and this is a thing, they call you into the office to tell you you're not getting something, you're not getting called up, or, you know, they don't just like, well, we just won't tell him. They told me I'm not getting called up. I go play the game, get called back into the office after the game, got traded to the Yankees. An opportunity where I'm like, oh my gosh, I really thought this was still going to be my last season. I was lining up an opportunity to play in Mexico. Oh, I skimmed over that too. Went to the Dominican in 2010. Didn't have a jersey for it. They kept those jerseys. That was an experience of a lifetime. We can ask about it. That's another hour speech, just the Dominican trip. I get traded to the Yankees. You know why I got traded to the Yankees? Because the Lord had it in his plan. But in a worldly surface, because Miguel Cabrera said some wrong things to Austin Romine, and Austin Romine, being like 6 inches shorter and like 60 pounds lighter, was like, well, I just had to fight him. So they fought. Gary Sanchez came out, and he was fighting. So both of them, both their catchers, had to be out. So they needed somebody. They didn't have to come and get me. They needed somebody. So I'm not saying what Miguel said would praise the Lord, but it was part of my journey. And I know that this is how the Lord works in mysterious ways in all our journeys. So I'm playing for the Yankees. AAA's in Scranton. I'm already making my plans. I know I'm not going on the Wall of Fame until I got the greatest batting average ever in Yankees history. Just saying, for anybody with two or more at-bats, yeah, it's not Babe Ruth. It's me. Pretty sure they're either going to give this jersey number to everybody that comes in, or they're never going to give it to anybody again. But I was like, this is great. I'm going to sign back with the Yankees again. 2018, I signed back with the Yankees, AAA. I know what I'm doing. This is perfect. Still playing. My wife, Sarah, is like, this is perfect. You're close to home. It's a four-hour drive, right up 81. No problem. Get a phone call. You got traded to the Brewers. This is awesome. Going to the big leagues, right? This is the best. My family gets to come with me. But I'm in Milwaukee. Like, there's no direct flights to Milwaukee, even into Milwaukee. Like, you fly into Chicago. Like, it's like, how can this work out for me? I'll tell you how it can work out. Game six of the playoffs, the NLCS, without anybody knowing, over 1.5 million people got to see me and my friends pray before the game six of the NLCS. They didn't know we were praying, and that's okay. That's okay. I knew we were praying. And it was an opportunity, if you guys have seen it, all my buds from college, one's here, they all ransacked my house and wore my jerseys, all these, you know, a lot to choose from. And I got an incredible opportunity. But I know for a fact that it was because the Lord put me in that situation. I knew it was because my spiritual life could handle it, that I had to, that I could wear all these jerseys in my career. So, in the offseason, I signed my first ever guaranteed contract at the age of 38. Or so I thought. There was a loophole that I found out 2 weeks before the end of spring training, and I knew they were gonna get rid of me because they had picked up a catcher in the offseason, and they were gonna pay him like $18 million or something, which is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. Like, I can't even count that high. But they were gonna pay him that money, and so my contract, they found a loophole that I didn't have enough service time in my career. So 2 weeks before the end of spring training, I was supposed to have a portion, my contract guaranteed, and that's what we agreed on. But because of my service time, it was not guaranteed, and the team said, "Well, you can still go to San Antonio. That's our AAA team." I was like, "Well, that is not where I'm going to go." But I have more money than I've ever made in an entire year, what I think is guaranteed, and so I'm like, do I go? I don't know. I don't go. I never got put in that situation because they asked me who I wanted to get traded to because there's a couple teams asking about me. I said, okay, who are the teams? They said the Giants, the Orioles, and the Marlins. I said, well, all three stink. So then by the time I got back to them, they said the Orioles were out. And I was like, all right, well, how about the Marlins? They're like, all right, cool. So, shows how much you really have to say about where you go. The Giants brought me in. Another long story short, I hit bad there. I was a fill-in. They got rid of me, and I would take off the next jersey, but I realized as I was picking all my jerseys out, I don't have my Rays jersey. I gave it away to somebody that was also very instrumental in my walk with the Lord, and that was my wife's uncle, who took us in when I was in the minor leagues, let us live at their house, and just incredible people. So they have my Rays jersey, which had all of like two hits in it. So it was unlucky, and I didn't want that. I didn't want to put that on my son, like another jersey in the house that didn't have any hits in it. But in 2015, baseball was reinstated back into the Olympics. And I was like, wow, 2020 Olympics? Like, everybody likes the Olympics. In a couple weeks, everyone's going to watch the Winter Olympics. And you have no idea what it takes to go down a bobsled, but you are like, let's go. Is that U.S.? I can't tell. No, it's Italy. You see the green? Like, you can't tell the difference between. But you are so into the Olympics. And I was like, I'm going to play. I'm going to play in the Olympics. I said that back in 2015. I had played for Team USA back in 2010. And because I had said before, if you were awake or paying attention, the Pirates had taken me off the roster. And because they took me off the roster, I got an opportunity to play for Team USA, which opened up an entirely different group of teams that saw me play in Team USA and felt like my international play was good enough for them to bring me into their organization. Fast forward, 2019, Team USA calls. We're going to the qualifier. So, here's my plan, all right? Lord, this is my plan, all right? So just listen. I'm going to play for Team USA. We're going to win. I'm going to qualify. I'm going to play next year, 2020, and then I'm quitting. I'm going to quit. I'm going to give you the glory. I'll probably do one of these. Yep. You know, like everybody does when things go great. Okay? We didn't qualify. We got walked off in the 10th inning against Mexico in Japan. We were in Guadalajara, went to Japan, went back home, hadn't qualified. So what? There's another qualifier, March 18th. Okay? You guys will remember March of 2020 kind of well. Okay? I'm leaving spring training. My flight is for March 17th to fly to Arizona to play for Team USA to qualify for the Olympics. March 12th, me, my kids, and my wife have a world record trip from Tampa, Florida to Telford, Pennsylvania with two stops. Figure that out. Hold some pee for that long with three kids. These kids didn't stop one time to pee. We had two stops the entire way because COVID hit, obviously. And in my head, I'm like, there's no way, like, COVID's going to last for, like, a little bit. Well, here we are. And the Olympics get moved to the next year. I had already made the commitment to my wife that I wasn't playing past 2020. And I am not good at planning. She is the planner, and she was right. I should have been done a long time ago. But we pushed it as far as we could. And I know the Lord was working through this time, because if we had won that game, if we had beaten Mexico, I would have had to have, in my prideful, career-oriented mind, I would have had to have played and played again in 2021. And I don't know what kind of hurt that would have put in my wife's mind, because I was choosing something over her. And essentially, I was choosing something over the Lord. I know I would say it. I would say he had me there. He had me in this situation. It was part of my journey. It was part of something I had to grow and learn from. And I got to play for Team USA. I didn't get to play in the Olympics. And I am totally good with it. The Lord gave me that peace. So if there's something you're struggling with, I encourage you to dig into it, to pray about it. The Lord will change the desire of your heart. And we finally came to my last jersey. The number's different, and I'm pretty sure they didn't give me 36 because it's going right up there on the Wall of Fame. I think it's like 1, 2, 3, 36, you know, all of them. They're not going to have any numbers left. Yankees are all going to be 90s. 99, he's okay. He's an okay player. But I got to play during the pandemic shortened season, whatever you want to call it. I got to do things that I never would have been able to do. I got to go out on top. When I say on top, my wife, my kids, they got to go to the playoffs with me in 2020. Most of those players didn't even get to see their families for the entire time, because you weren't allowed to interact with anybody that was outside of the bubble. We had families coming to San Diego that they had to stand on the concourse in the stadium where there's nobody, And they had to wave up at him because they weren't allowed to come into the bubble. I got to walk out of my career. I don't know many people that get to choose to leave their career. And I know for a fact that the Lord helped me grow to this situation, to this moment. And we could jump into any one of these jerseys, and I can give you countless stories from Team USA to Columbus to different times where I wanted one thing and the Lord had other plans. And it's brought me all the way to today when I get to speak to you guys. And I don't know where everyone's at, and I don't know that you guys know where everybody's at in your life. But I hope and my prayer before I came out here was that these are not my words. Yes, I was on this journey. But as John 3:30 says, I must decrease so that he can increase. And if I don't look to the Lord before I do everything, my life is in shambles. And I know it. And I know it is because I was one of however many from EMU. I was one of however many from Christopher Dock. But we're all one of however many from where we are, no matter where it is. And you're not alone. And I knew I wasn't alone because if you followed the whole story, I didn't even get into it. But my wife and I, we have made 94 moves in our 20 years of marriage. Counting, like we didn't count Boston because she didn't go to Boston, but 94 moves of a month or more. And if we tried to do that on our own, would have broken us. And so I am so thankful for the community, the people that are in here. You may never even have said a word to me, but I know people prayed for me in my career. You have never even seen me or met me, but I know people in this community have supported me in ways that have helped us through our 94 moves. And we are so thankful, and I'm so thankful to be in front of you guys speaking, but also I hope that you guys can go out and speak your journey to other people. So through that, it's probably, you guys still have the video? Okay, thumbs up. My dad, you have a screen? Or are we just going to? We're going to put it on my forehead? Oh, on the sides? That's a wide screen. My dad was like, you got to show some kind of video. So I do show a video. But if you ever want to really, like, if you ever question, like, I don't know, man, like this guy, he's like a big guy. He probably worked really hard. So that's probably why he was in the big leagues. That one jersey that I wore, the Red Sox, they offered me a job last year. I wore that jersey for 2 minutes. I was literally, like, I was finishing my breakfast on the third day, and they were like, we're going to send you out. Hanley Ramirez is hurt, so we can't put him on the DL. You're gone. I was like, I didn't even play. And now they offered me a contract. They offered me a job to be a player development consultant. I don't know if I'll take it or not, but we'll see what happens. That's the next chapter in life. You have to come back to Spruce Lake in 10 years, see what I decided. They'll probably have another pavilion built. But, so it shows that the different people that you meet along your journey, wherever your journey is, you never know. And the Lord will speak through you if you allow him to. So here's the highlight. I wanted to get some highlights of me like throwing a ball in the center field, but they didn't download any. So anyway, I did it. Because I hate when people show up and they're like, look at me, homers. People think I'm like really good. Like I played for 14 different teams. Like you had to have done something crappy, but I did some cool stuff too. So anyway, there it is.
Runner goes. Kratz from his knees fires.
He hasn't hit a whole lot. Hit for power, but not average. This one is fair, right over the bag and down the line. Andujar flying around second.
Final inning here of the second game of this doubleheader. Kratz takes it in to right. That ball's back toward the corner, rebounding.
Ginormous. It was enormous.
Goes again. Kratz from his knees. Got him.
Jamal, can you play some pump-up music while this is playing? Like, this would be much better if you're like...
High drive to left. Tuchman back at the wall.
We'll have a chance to win the division. Runner takes off. Kratz is thrown a second. This one's on the bound and in time.
The next time Brault takes the mound, gives up another homer to a left-handed hitter. And there's a drive to deep left center field. Back is Dickerson, and this is gone.
In base.
Kratz down the left field line. First pitch.
Oh, my. Eric Kratz.
More pressure on guys in maybe less than favorable matchup situations. And a high drive out into deep left center. Eric Kratz with a...
Runner goes. Swung on and missed. Throw to second. Is in time. And you strike him out. Throw. That you mentioned the bullpen, the meltdown. 28th in Major League Baseball in ERA. Eric Kratz gets a base hit and then throw.
And, Mike, what is it, number of men? 1 in 9? That's now 1 in 9.
Eric Kratz might be making a donation. That's deep in the right side.
He was hitting 280 or 269, and there's a line drive base hit in AAA. And they'll get two out.
A good member of the ball club. You're going to find some work.
Kratz hits it in the air to left field. Tilson back at the warning track.
The thing could go to the Rock River Tap after duck hunting.
Here's Eric Kratz, and he will launch one out. Welcome.
In September, that pinch hit, game-winning home run as the pitch is a strike. The throwdown with the runner on the move, and they got him a perfect throw at...
Out toward left center field. On the run is Conforto. He's not going to get it. It's going to go to the wall. Two runs will score.
Going down right and left.
There goes Martin. Throw to second, and he is out at second base. Now the...
Two down here, Salvador Perez.
No, this is not Perez.
Kratz with a deep drive to left on the first pitch.
Here's the 1-2 from Happ. Runner goes. Ball high. Throw down to second. Tag. Got him.
Deep drive to left field, and this one is gone. Way back for...
Runner going. Throw from the knees.
Wow.
Got him. Tremendous.
He goes, and a foul tip. The throw to second. Strikeout, throw out, double play. Kratz is here.
And a fastball slider change, fastball in the low 90s.
Off and running is Zimmerman, and he is out at second base.
To center field. That's pretty well hit. And killed.
We'll never know what happened. You just put it all together. I'm pretty sure you know what happened. That was my first big league home run, so it was cool that the guy that put that together. Joshua 1:9 is the passage that I really, like, I wrote it on my batting gloves. Have I not commanded you? Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid, for I am with you wherever you go. Been a lot of places, so appreciate you guys being here.